Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunbury Press Book Show on the BookSpeak Network. I'm Lawrence Knorr, and I have with me Jake Gronsky and Dave Bonner, who have written a book called A Short Season, Faith, Family, and a Boy's Love for Baseball. It's about the incredible life of Josiah Vieira, Dave's grandson. And first up, I'd like to talk to, I'd like to talk to both of you, but first question is for Jake. Jake, about your baseball career, because I know when we met, I realized that you had played professional baseball. That was always a dream of mine, and it never came to fruition for me. I was somebody who could hit a ball a mile, but really couldn't run and couldn't field very well and wasn't much of a pitcher. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that and what happened to you becoming a writer.
Yeah, well, hey, Lawrence, thank you for having me on the show, man. You know, I know Dave and I are both excited to talk a little bit about our story and talk a little bit about Josiah and who we are and how we got here. But yeah, baseball started for me like any other kid. You know, I grew up wanting to be a professional baseball player. I didn't want to even play professional baseball. I wanted to be a professional baseball player. And you know, I think every kid that had a ball, you know, a ball glove when he was a kid, I think they could relate to that. So. Started as a dream, and then as I started playing, you know, I was fortunate enough that it kind of became a reality as I got to college. And once that went well, I played at Monmouth University, and I was lucky enough to be able to sign with the St. Louis Cardinals after college. And honestly, it was a dream come true. I played for 3 seasons in the minor leagues, and there's something so great about the game of baseball. It's just because I really believe it teaches players more about themselves than even the game of baseball. You know, whether you played professionally or like yourself, you know, that wanted to play professionally, there's this sense of desire and hope for the game while having to face so much struggle and so much failure. I mean, anyone can relate to that. And I think it's a great teacher, and it's something that, you know, I loved at a young age, and I still do to this day. But what kept me going was I was always writing. And I was always telling stories, and it was something that it kept me at bay during all the ups and downs of the season. The way I would escape was write. And no one ever really saw or read any of my writings. It was just for me. And then as we started going, as we started playing more, I started writing more. And then, you know, then kind of, I don't want to give away the entire story, but then I met Dave. And now we're here. So, you know, writing was always a vocation of mine just because, like baseball, it was a passion. It's something that I love to do. And then, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to live out the dream of playing professional baseball. And now I feel like I'm almost beginning again and starting another dream of writing.
So, Jake, were you trained in writing? Did you take coursework in college, or are you self-taught?
Yeah, sure.
Is it something you have a passion for?
You know, I would like to say it's kind of a combo of all three. I mean, every amateur writer, you know, we all try to write wherever we can, you know, like, so writing in these, you know, smaller publications that'll give you a platform, or, you know, blogs and all these websites. So, you know, we did that, and I really give a lot of credit to one of my professors in college. You know, I went in as a communication major, focusing on writing, and when I was a freshman, I took a class with Dr. Chad Dell, and he was someone that I really respected in the writing world and just as a human being. And he read some of my stuff, and he simply just said, hey, just keep taking my courses for the rest of 4 years. So, you know, I did. And, you know, from there, he he almost mentored me in writing in a way, and I was able to not only get the course teaching, but as every good writer knows, you know, stories are not formed just on paper. They're formed through life and experiences and understanding people and communication. And I remember my senior year, I was just leaving, and I was saying goodbye to Dr. Dell for everything he kind of taught me. And all he said to me was just, don't stop writing. He's like, wherever kind of life takes you, because he kind of knew about baseball. And during this time, he introduced me to a few like writing agents and all the different good stuff that every writer, you know, wants to have. And all he said was just, don't stop writing. You know, wherever it can take me, it might. You know, I might have a shot at this thing. That's kind of what he said. So I give a lot of credit to him, because I think he was able to believe in me as a writer, honestly, before I even believed in myself. So I give him a lot of credit. But, yeah, the standard college courses and writing wherever I can, I think, was a huge benefit. But the biggest thing, and I hope everyone can take away from this, is reading. I mean, the only way to become a good writer is to be a great reader. So that's when I think my writing really took off, was when I started reading a lot more and reading a lot more good literature and a lot more good stories. And just seeing how people conceived and told a story was so important. So those are things I think that really helped me.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur with all that. And I think, too, in my story, editing has also helped, because you really learn from your mistakes.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't tell you how many times I've had to turn around my own manuscripts. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, we talked about it. You know, Dave and I, we spoke multiple times that I think we rewrote, you know, our first story, like, I think 3 to 4 times, you know, and not because it wasn't good or it wasn't this, wasn't that, because, you know, it wasn't right. And you know, those like trial by fire, I mean, that is the best teacher you can have, you know, is seeing it on paper, seeing it in print, printing it out and editing it. Because, you know, a lot of people want to talk about being a writer, but to be honest with you, in order to do it, you need to write and you need to be very analytical about what you're doing. You can't just think that everything that you wrote is good, you know? So, I think that's, you know, you gotta be critical on yourself. And I think that comes full circle with baseball, you know, because baseball, you have to do the same exact thing. So I think I'm trying to take the same mentality that I did all through playing, and now I'm trying to put it into a writing career. And so far, like, you know, of everything what's happened in the past 2 years, it's been incredible.
Yeah, let's bring David into this. David, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got to meet Jake, and maybe a little bit about Josiah.
Wow, Josiah and Jake. That's a story in itself. yeah, I guess it was around 2015 we first met Jake at the State College Spikes, when Josiah's in the dugout for most of the games there at State College, which is the short season affiliate for the Cardinals. And I had heard about a guy that was in the Cardinals that lived in Danville, and I'm going, wow, that's pretty close. I never knew there was a guy in Danville in the Cardinals. And so one day, this gentleman walks up to me, and he says, hi. And I said, how are you? And he just introduced himself, and I'm going, where do you live? And he said, well, Danville. I said, are you kidding me? I said, he lives in Danville? You live in Danville? I said, I don't live 45 minutes from you. I said, my little guy here, Josiah, goes to the hospital there. That was the beginning of our relationship. And never dreamed where we would be now as far as the book writing and everything, because this is something that was put to me many years ago by Mr. Ben Hauser from ESPN and also to my daughter. You know, you really need to think about writing a book. And I just could never do it because that's not my talent. And you put me in the back of an ambulance and I'm great, but writing books, I got to learn. But when we got together then, as time went on, it blossomed into what it is now. And as far as Josiah goes, he's just a little guy with progeria that just loves the game of baseball. He, for some reason, at 5 years old, playing with the kids next door, I would have never thought back then that a little guy wanting to play baseball, we'd be now part of a major league organization with the St. Louis Cardinals, and they just take very good care of him. And it's just been an amazing journey, and it's been an amazing time to get to meet Jake. He's become like a son for me, and appreciate the guy a lot. And we did a lot of talking, a lot of back and forth when we were writing the book, and changes and rewrites and long journey, but we finally made it, and it's been a fun drive and a ride, and I really appreciate it. I know Josiah says he doesn't want to be signing books or anything like that, but for his friends, he will. He's hurting right now. He broke his leg on Friday, so he's kind of laid up for the next few months, and it's kind of put him back a little bit with the baseball, but he's a fighter. He's not going to stay away from baseball. He's already planning on being in the junior high school here at Tri-Valley High School. He's their bench coach, so he's going to make sure he's in the dugout, even if he's in a wheelchair. So that's what he's going to be doing, but that's what we've been doing the last couple of weeks, trying to get ready for that also.
So just a little bit about progeria, I guess, might be helpful for the audience. They might not know what progeria is. And, it sounds like Josiah has lived quite a while with it, maybe even longer than expected. And I don't know if you could explain a little bit what progeria is to the audience.
Sure, sure. Yeah, progeria is Greek for premature aging. And it's been discovered way back in the 1800s, late 1800s, by two gentlemen, I think, called Hutchinson and Guilford. And they gave it the name progeria, I guess, from the Greek. I didn't really study up on that too much. Long story short on that, it's premature aging. There's about, I would say, around 70 kids worldwide with Hutchinson-Guilford progeria, and that is the rapid aging progeria. There's another type of progeria, I believe it's called the progeroid syndrome, where the kids look very old, but their physiology doesn't age. But most of those kids can live into their 40s. Most kids with Hutchinson-Guilford progeria, their life expectancy early on when they discovered this the last decade or so when they started to research it more, their life expectancy at that time was 8 to 13. But because of advances in medicine and some research to help strengthen their hearts, and their bodies as best they can, because they're actually dealing with an old person. They have old age diseases, hardening of the arteries, cholesterol, osteoporosis, arthritis. A lot of those things you would see in an old person, you see in these children. And so the life expectancy now they talk about is like 13 to 18. There has been, I think, the last, 4 months, where I believe there's about 3 of the progeria kids worldwide passed away. But right now I think there's around 75 worldwide, and I think progeroid syndrome and Hutchinson-Guilford syndrome worldwide is around 200. It's a very, very rare disease. It's not very studied well in the medical world, but it's getting some more notoriety out there with the research that they're doing.
That is incredibly rare when you say that many. Is there a particular country where they are more prevalent, or a particular region, or is it just kind of random?
No particular country. It's a genetic predisposition. They discovered the gene for aging in all people back in 2004. They called it the Lamin A gene. And the progeria child that has Hutchinson-Guilford progeria, the gene is like not symmetrical. It's very rough around the edges, where a normal aging gene in people is very smooth and round. And that's what they've been working on to try and adjust the gene. You know, I always said, if they ever cure this, we're all going to live to over 200 years old. But that's kind of what the research they do. And but as far as, Josiah, he wouldn't think it, but I'm starting to notice with Josiah, and I'm sure Jake will agree, you're starting to see the aging very rapidly in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
His face is very sunken in now, and you can see the aging process. He's slowing down a little bit. This bone break was pretty tough for him. We're not sure how that's going to heal yet. The doctors aren't sure, but knowing Josiah, he's going to surprise everybody. He always does.
So, Jake, this guy walks up to you interested in some ball player from Danville. What happened next?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. The reason why I was even there is actually pretty crazy. I was playing in Peoria, Illinois, which is the full A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals, and and I was finishing my season there. But around September, I got hit with a fastball in the bottom of my hand, and I ended up it broke my hand. And so I was done for the rest of the year. But since I lived right next to State College, I had to go see a doctor. So they said, hey, why don't you do a 2-day rehab in State College Spike? So I actually never truly played on that team. It's not that we met each other the entire season. It was because I broke my hand. I had to show up to the park for, 2 days, and that was it. So in a weird way, if I did not break my hand, I may not have ever been able to meet Dave and Josiah. So, the way we met it is pretty incredible. But then what happened next was something that I honestly believe it changed my life. So, we meet, and then we decide to keep in touch. All we said was, hey, we live close to each other. Let's meet up this off season. And, so I would go to Josiah's doctor's appointments and his checkups, because, again, that was in Geisinger, which is less than a mile from where I live. And Dave and I, we started then getting coffee every Thursday night. Daisha, his other granddaughter, would take dancing from my mom in Karen Ronci School of Dance. And so me and Dave would go get coffee every Thursday night, and we would just sit and talk. And by sit and talk, I mean Dave would talk, and I would try to listen. And it was something that that we did for a while. And then I ended up going back to spring training. And that year, I ended up getting released. And my dream of playing professional baseball came to an end. And as Dave will tell you, it really wasn't easy. I don't think it is ever meant to be easy. I think a lot of times right now we shy away from moments in life that are not hard, that are tough. But that was something that I had to face head on, and I didn't know how to handle that. And I think Dave can speak on this even more, because one of the major parts of our story is the fact that Josiah and this family, they have to meet everything in their life head on. And so once I was released, Dave and I, we kept getting coffee. We kept going to the same corner booth, and we kept talking. I was just a 20-some-year-old kid trying to figure out the next steps of my life and figure out, why this whole thing happened. Like, I was meant to be a baseball player. I was a baseball player. What else am I? And I was able to listen and try to understand the story of this family that, has one of the most amazing stories of hope and faith I've ever heard of my life. And that's why this story has impacted me so much. And, not to jump ahead, but once we were talking for months, and Dave said something to me that I'll never forget in my life. And Dave, I know we talk about this at length, and it's still one of my favorite stories to tell. Dave looked at me and said, of everything that we've done in baseball and of all the places we were able to go and all the people we were able to meet, I just don't want Josiah to ever be forgotten. And, I just, the 20-some-year-old kid, like, no one in awe, I said, Dave, that's preposterous. No one will ever forget Josiah, no matter what happens, because he was our coach. He was our friend. Like, we all still keep in touch with him. Like, no one will ever forget Josiah. And Dave said, you're right, but if the story's not written down, people forget, and over time, it fades. And he's right. And that was a very almost scary moment that we had. And that's when, Dave mentioned that he always wanted this story on paper. And the moment he said that, I think, was the moment that I knew I had to do this. And I said, Dave, listen, we need to get this story on paper. I said, I don't care what happens with it. I don't care where it goes. I don't care anything about it, but we need to write this story of what you just told me over the past 2 months. Like, everything that he just laid out to me, I said, we need to get this on paper. And I said, our goal, I think, it's laughable now of everything that we've been going through the past couple of weeks with this book coming out. We said, our goal is to get 2 copies printed out at Staples. Right, mm-hmm. So one for Dave's family and one for me.
One for Jake.
So we can go back to the same corner booth and just read the story, because then that means the impact Josiah has made, the story of this family, and the message beyond it, it will live forever. And to say that, like, we set out on this journey and all of this was going to happen, like, if we knew that, like, you'd be lying, because we had no idea any of this was going to come about. And, you know, that's why this story is so special to us, because I think my goal of writing this was for anyone just to get a piece of what this story has already done for me. And that's why, you know, just me meeting them by the fact that I broke my hand on a fastball is, you know, it was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Yeah, I didn't realize that your meeting each other was so just almost miraculous. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and you know,
it definitely was miraculous in my thinking.
Yeah, we always joke that, you know, we don't believe in coincidences. I know the story proves that, but, you know, this was something that was also, you know, placed into our life. And you know, at the time, don't get me wrong, I was not happy about it. You know, I was not happy.
No, he wasn't.
You know, breaking my hand in the best part of my season. But you know what? It's incredible to be able to look back and say, man, if that didn't happen, I could only imagine what my life would be right now, and you know what it would be like. And I don't want to picture that. I mean, this truly has impacted my life in more ways than I could ever imagine.
So I know that Ben Houser at ESPN did a show on E60, or has he done more than one show? And did that happen before?
Done more than one, yeah.
Before meeting Jake, or was that after?
The first show that was done in 2010. What happened there when he started his Little League thing here, and it kind of blossomed. That whole episode there started his baseball career in a way. He just loved the game of baseball. And in 2010 and 2000, around that time, yeah, he was in the backyard. He played with the boys next door. They were Little League players. And what he would do was he'd go out and play. Of course, I was a little nervous, but, you know, let the kid be a kid. And they took very good care of him, but then one day he wanted to play baseball. So it got all cleared, long story short. They just printed a little article in the paper here, in the local newspaper here in the Higgins area. And it ended up that the coach's wife, I believe, sent the article to a friend of hers in Harrisburg. And that friend was so fascinated with the article, like, oh, this is so cool about this little boy. She blanketed emailed every one of her friends on this story. You got to read this story. Well, one of those people on the email was Ben Houser's mom, who abruptly called Ben and said, you need to read this story. And if I remember right, Ben telling me, he said, well, you know, you really need to read this story. You're going to want to do a story for E60. I think within the hour, he called my daughter on the phone. And that started our relationship with Ben Houser, who's a good friend of ours now. And, it's been an ongoing just relationship all these years, and he's been so much helpful even in this project to help us get, you know, motivate me especially. And
he was very encouraging about you writing it down as well.
Yeah. So it's been fun. I know when Jake had his – actually, this one story I have to tell about Jake. I think it's in the book I wrote a little bit. But when we were at a baseball game, correct me wrong, Jake, I think we were at Bloomsburg University with you and your dad.
Yep.
And, of course,
yep,
we talked a lot, you know, and I said, you know, I really want to write this down. If you could have seen the look in that man's eyes, it was like he just slapped a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. you know, I want to do this. We need to do this, Dave. We really need to do this. Well, that was my motivation. Okay, let's get this started. I still wasn't convinced, but he kept pushing me. And as time went on, it was getting more exciting. And after almost 2 years, we finally had something put together. And I believe, you know, God had his hand in all of this. If you would sit down and we'd have a couple hours to tell you how this all worked out and the simple things that happened to make it work is amazing. It's just amazing what I believe God himself had his hand in this. And that's just the way I believe it. And I believe, I know Jake knows that also.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So I'm trying to recall when Sunbury Press gets involved, and I think I got a phone call. I'm trying to, maybe you can help refresh my memory as to how we connected.
I believe Ben helped us with that one. We were searching for publishers. I think, Jake, you can help me with this. We had an agent at one point who loved the story, and she couldn't put it down, and she said, this is going to work, and she thought she, and every publisher in the country just didn't want to do anything with it, and that she had access to. And Ben kept telling me quietly behind the scenes, Dave, you know, if you run out of options, I'm telling you, call Sunbury Press. Call Sunbury Press. He said, I'll talk to Lawrence, call Sunbury Press. So I kept telling Jake, like, hey, if we run out of options, let's go to Sunbury Press. I'm telling you, God's got his hand in this. This is going to work. And whatever happens is going to happen. So today, here we are having a conversation with Lawrence and Jake and myself.
Well, yeah.
Sunbury Press.
That's the kind of fun thing that happened. I do give, I give Jill Marshall a lot of credit because she truly put her name behind our story. Yeah, she put her name behind our story, and you know she called and said, "Hey, listen, you know I love this story. I think it's very important for people to hear, people to understand." And she, and the way she put it, she's like, "I love the way you guys told it." You know, she's like, and it was something that I truly appreciate. You know, her being first. You know, she was a big-time literary agent outside of Los Angeles and has multiple New York Times bestsellers on her reel. And I remember talking to her about publishers about, that this story, like, we're two unknowns. I mean, we're two backwoods poets from central Pennsylvania. Like, you know, of course it's going to be a harder sell because they don't know who we are, which is understandable. I remember talking to her, and I mentioned – I said, hey, you know, there is this great press, this Sunbury Press that does a lot of great Pennsylvania stories. And I said, what about them? And she said, honestly, I would love to reach out because I know, Dave has always been telling me that Ben, speaks very highly of Sunbury Press. And, you know, I think the way Dave put it, I think, I don't want to make it seem like that it was a second option, because since, the day Jill and I spoke, that's when she submitted our proposal to Sunbury Press as well. And, and it just turned out that we were getting rejected by the time you guys were going over and reviewing our manuscript. And it was just the classic story of legitimately, if there was 12 publishers, I think you guys were, the 13th or 14th to look at it. And then finally, that was when we were able to work on an offer. So, it was down to the wire, so to speak. But, like we said, since day one, our goal was to get two copies printed out. So we were kind of, wide-eyed going into the whole thing. But we just knew that we had a story. We knew that we wrote it well, and we knew we had a story that deserves to be told. So I think there was a sense of fearlessness in that, and there was confidence in that, and everything else, we were green. We had no idea what we were doing. So it was all good and fun and games to us. But yeah, I give a lot of credit to Jill because, she was the first person that that put her name behind this and really made us believe that this thing does have a shot at kind of really making an impact on people. If someone like her will, willingly say that this is a story that she wants to put her name behind, that gave us all the confidence in the world. So I gave her a lot of credit and she's a great agent. And I know, she's a great person for doing that as well.
Yeah. I think I do recall that. And I recall the conversation with Ben as well. And that Jill, even though she was the one who presented the proposal to us, she also backed out of having any kind of financial connection to it. Like, it was more like a gift.
I give her so much credit because she brought it up to us saying, hey, listen, I love this story for you guys, but you guys can take this on your own. And I give her a lot of credit because that just shows the integrity that she has. as as an agent and as a human being. So, I mean, I applaud her for doing that.
Yeah, she was great. Talking to Jake about it, she was an awesome lady. I didn't get to talk to her, I think, maybe but once. She was just awesome. She loved the story so much. I remember Jake telling me, how did she tell you that, Jake? She read it. It was up to early hours of the morning reading our proposal.
Yeah. And that was good to hear, because I think it gave some validation. I mean, think about it. We're two authors just sitting in this office, you know, locked away writing for, you know,
yeah.
I mean, what, they have a good 10 months of just writing for with no one checking up on us, no one reading it. We had, like, you know, we were writing it as honestly and as truthfully as we could ever do. And then finally, the first time, you know, a true, you know, literary agent in the world reads it, you know, and she said she couldn't put it down. So I think it gave us the validation that, okay, this book can stand up to any other book in Barnes & Noble, and we'll be confident putting it out, you know, next to any author. So it was good to hear. It really was. And at the very minimum, it gave us the validation that this book is legitimate. You know, the writing is legitimate, and you know, we legitimately, you know, have a shot at doing this.
You know, we're so grateful that you did think of us and come to us, and I'm just so grateful that Ben Hauser has such a positive opinion of us, which I'm happy to say quite a few people do. Fortunately, more do than don't. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was awesome that
That's good. We
all could connect. Yeah,
well,
I
got to tell you this. I got to tell you this real quick. I mean, this is a really short little anecdote, but, you know, I'm big used books guy, right? Like a big paperback, like stores where it's just like all piled up with books. And the reason why I knew Sunbury Press, not only from, you know, Ben speaking very highly of it, but there was a couple of years ago, I was in a bookstore and I love reading old war memoirs and stories of that nature. And I picked up Call Sign Dracula and I couldn't put it down. I thought that was one of the best books and I got it. So, you know, unfortunately, I will say that after I read it, I did exchange it as well.
But I did
read it, and I knew that was a Sunbury Press book, and that was actually my first introduction to them. I had no idea of anything past that, so I thought that was actually pretty cool. Because then when I saw it on your bookstore, I was like, no way, Call Sign Dracula, that's incredible. So really cool.
Yeah, that's still selling pretty well for us. And what I wanted to say was, and you're not the only author who's come to us that maybe the traditional, you know, the more established or larger presses are reluctant to deal with new authors. You know, we've done it time and again. And this book especially, I'm sure, if they aren't thinking it already, they will be once they hear about it. They're going to wish every single one of them that they had signed you and, you know, taking the risk.
No, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's something.
And just so everybody knows, I mean, the book just came out this past week. It had significant advance orders, lots of people in the area in central, north central Pennsylvania were interested in acquiring the book. And since it's come out, it's also been selling very well on Amazon at first and is the number one new release in its category, which is special needs parenting, I think is a category that it hit number one in. And
yeah,
for a book to come out and hit number one in a new release in a category, that's pretty significant, especially for two new authors and also, you know, a press like Sunbury Press. We're a small independent publishing company. So we're always happy when we can get some results like that. Now, the book is also now out at Barnes & Noble and on the Nook, as well as the Kindle through Amazon and through sunburypress.com through our website. We're hoping as this thing filters out, other independent bookstores will pick it up. We will be circulating it around to all the ones on our distribution. And I'm sure this story of Josiah will get a lot of interest. So
I guess maybe a little more about Josiah. You know, what has he known about the book? Has anybody been keeping him up to date on the progress? Has he seen anything about it? Is he aware of it?
Well, I kind of tell him, yeah, it's going, but he's kind of it's kind of hilarious some days. He has all these people calling him, you know, or contacting me or Jake. You know, they want their autograph, and he just looked at me. He said, "I don't know why." He said, "Because first off, Pappy," he said, "I didn't write the book. You and Jake wrote the book." And he said, "I'm not going to be sitting signing books all day. I'm not the author." He so he's very particular on who he's going to sign for. So. He knows he has friends that want to have an autograph book, especially some of the nurses that took care of him when he was very little. He actually remembers a couple of them. And so he will sign some books, but any book signing that gets done anywhere, chances are you won't see Josiah there because he says, "I'm not going along," he goes. So we got him to commit to one for sure, which is at Threading Love in Lewisburg on April 13th. And but he'll be hidden away back in the back room. And he'll sign his friend's books, but he's not going to be setting their lineup. It is very difficult for him to write also because he actually has an iPad for school because he has arthritic hands. And it's very difficult for him to write in any length of time. So actually when he does schoolwork, he does it on an iPad that the school provides. But he's very hilarious when he gets into the book. He's just like, "Okay, whatever, Pap." You know, he doesn't show a whole lot of interest. Other than...
Well, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry to cut you off, but like we said,
since
starting this, like this whole story, you know, and this whole book, you know, is about to celebrate, you know, Josiah's life and his family's life. And it's supposed to celebrate. And we never wanted this process to ever be dragging or pressing on Josiah. So we always said, if he wants to do something, like, by all means. Yeah, and if he doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to do it. So what we did... because I know a lot of people do want something special from Josiah, which is understandable. I mean, this story is about him. And I hope they see, like, you know, parts of this story are actually pretty humorous with Josiah and some of the baseball players and the jokes and whatnot. I think they'll see that. But we wanted to give something special from Josiah. And, you know, that, like, you know, Joe and I, we spoke a lot about this where, like, you know, we designed some shirts together. Like, he drew some shirts and we were able to produce some. And, you know, and all of that, all of the proceeds of that goes towards his baseball fund. And so even with this book, we took his signature and what we're going to do is we made it into a stamp from him. So, you know, of all of our live events that we do and anything that, you know, even Dave and I do, like we are going to make sure that anyone that comes to kind of like support and kind of learn this story and understand it, like we're going to make sure Josiah's stamp goes into every one of those books. In every live event. So I think it'll be something where, you know, I know Joe, again, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. I know Joe, I kind of wanted to do something with this as well, just as a, you know, something special that it's kind of hands off for him, but it's also representing the fact that, you know, hey, Josiah was part of, you know, every part of this process, just like us. So, so I think that would be a nice way of doing it.
He's kind of part of it, but you know, we don't talk a lot about it. You know, in conversation, because he'll just look at me.
He's a 13-year-old kid. Yeah, he's a 13-year-old kid. He wants to.
He's not going to be the one. But you get a conversation going on baseball, and he'll be with you for 3 hours. You know, like today, even tonight, I come home from doing some ambulance work, and he's, of course, home right now. And I walk in, MLB's on, you know. So he's watching games that have already been played. And, there's just so many stories with Josiah. He is hilarious. And like Lawrence, one little story, I guess I'll give away a little bit of the book, but I was taken back when Jake told me the conversations with some of the ballplayers that we put in the book. I had no idea that Josiah had those conversations with the ballplayers privately in the dugout or the locker room. And I was just like in tears in some of the stories that I read with the ball players, and you know, we're helping to write this together, and I think that's incredible, the maturity of this little boy and his love of life, and it just amazes me. We see him every day, and sometimes we take it for granted. Even in our family, it's just so easy to take it for granted because we're with him every day, but as time goes on, we're starting to just to see him mature and mature beyond his age, beyond his years as a teenager. So I think the people that read the book are going to find those stories incredible. I think Jake will agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I was going to say, it's amazing enough. I mean, probably worthy of a book just to recount the story of the very rare disease and what the family would face and all that. But to layer into that, okay, the love of baseball, that's really neat. But layer into that, Josiah's incredible personality and his outlook, it's just so special and so contrary to what you would think he, you know, should be feeling for what he's facing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's sort of the opposite. Maybe you guys could share a little bit about that, maybe an example or two.
Yeah, Dave, you want to talk a little bit about that, or?
Yeah, go ahead. You start. I'm thinking how I want to approach it. We'll approach it together, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, and going off of what Dave said previously with some of the players, you know, this story is not just a memoir of a Wikipedia page of what happened. There's this human element behind it of how, like we mentioned, how Josiah interacts with some of these players. And that's why, you know, we needed a second narrative, so to speak. We needed not just the story of Josiah, but the story of his impact, of what he's made of, like stories that, you know, that Dave didn't even know, because there are stories from the players themselves of how, you know, again, you have this story of minor league baseball is going on, right? You have this old climbing the ladder, so to speak, of the rungs of minor league baseball going to this golden carrot of the, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals. And you have the first step in the state college fight. So you have all these professional baseball players gathered trying to make the big leagues, you know, solely focused, obsessing over making the big leagues. And they're going through failure. They're going through struggle. They're going through pain. They're going through, you know, emotions that are part of the maturing process that some may not ever get over. And then you have this child of Josiah walk into your life. And how that interaction plays out are stories that I reach out to all four of our major stories of four of Josiah's best friends and State College Spikes. I reach out to them and I thank them for putting their story in the book and letting me tell those stories because they're so important. And again, like I don't want to give away too much of a story, but one of them was going through, you know, but one of them, and so it was going through, you know, another medical emergency in their family. His mother was diagnosed with breast cancer the year he had to drive away from her to play professional baseball. He was away from her during, you know, chemotherapy and the times where she was losing her hair and these horrific moments and these horrific realities. And the only thing that he mentioned that kept him going was being able to look at Josiah and being able to learn from him and be more like him. Stories like that, stories that, you know, we don't think about on a daily basis that players go through, you know, those are the stories that impact people. And the whole goal of writing this was to bring those stories to life. And like you mentioned, you know, people will look at Josiah and maybe see some of his physical traits and see this, you know, this sorrowful part of this, you know, of this child that shouldn't be going through this disease, which they're right. You know, no child should face that. But when they're introduced to Josiah, they find this joy, this happiness that is so distinct that it will make anyone, you know, really question about like their own life. And that's the point of this story. Now, this story is a very, very hopeful and joyful story, and it's told through pain. And I think that is the caveat that is very hard to understand, but that's the story that we told. And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, I really believe that's why this story can impact so many people. And that's why I love hearing some of the reviews coming back. The fact that, you know, you have such a horrific, you know, reality of Josiah, but you have such a happy, you know, joyful, you know, and fulfilling life that the whole family is able to live. I think that is the miracle of Josiah.
Yeah, that is correct. I have a hard time following that. Josiah, I mean, in my experiences with him, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know how to put it, a surreal adventure to be with Josiah. I've said this a million times. You know, I would have never dreamed when he was 5 years old that I would be being taken in as a family member, even as they call me Pappy, into the St. Louis Cardinals organization. And to see the impact that he's had on people just privately, just in conversations where they'll come up to me and ask me about progeria, and we'll sit down in a corner and I'll tell him, you know, this is his life, this is what's going on, and you can see the tears welling up in these players' eyes. And, you know, I remember so many times going in when we were over the last few years into the dugout in State College, or we'd show up at the game. Josiah always wants to be there before everybody else. So he usually gets in before the coach gets in. He said, I got to be there before everybody else. I said, okay. But we'd get in, and I recall this year, this past year, Joe Kruzel was our manager. And, of course, we had a bunch of new players and some guys that were there from the year before that we got to hang out with again for a little bit. But the opening day, we were in the locker room, and Joe looked at all the players, and he announced me and Josiah. And he said, these two can go wherever they want. They're members of this organization. Josiah has his own locker here. And he says, if you don't get to know this little boy here named Josiah, it's your loss. And I don't think there was a guy in that this past year or any year that didn't get to know Josiah at some point. And they will tell you, so we went into games there, walk in, and we might have been away for a few days, and we'd walk back in. And, of course, we'd have a team meeting, and the coach would walk in, or one of the players, and they'd all yell, well, hey, Josiah's back. Now we can get some perspective again. And I heard that so many times. We can get perspective again. And because they'd watch him on the field. They'd watch his tenacity and his heart and his just joy, literal joy that bubbles out of him when he's on the ball field. And that's kind of the whole thing in a nutshell with the story, and just the joy of baseball and family, and we just take one day at a time with them, and we enjoy each day with them. You know, all of us have a time schedule, how long we're going to be in this earth, and I believe God's brought them to us for a reason, and I'm starting to see that reason happening. And even if it's to touch one life in a baseball, if it makes a difference in one baseball player's life somewhere, it's worth watching that happen.
Well, we're all very lucky to have interacted with them. Even in my case, through a book that we're publishing about him, and I can definitely feel the influence. And I think with the book, we'll certainly have a chance to get even a broader telling, and hopefully many more people have a chance to learn about him. We're talking about a short season, faith, family, and a boy's love for baseball. And we got Jake Gronsky and Dave Bonner, the authors. The book has hit number one, new release, in its category on Amazon. I know you two have some events planned, maybe here in the last, we got about maybe 10 minutes to go. And talk a little bit about what you're planning with the book here in the next few months, anything you might be doing, any events, things like that.
Yeah, go for it, Jake.
Yeah, we have, we've been fortunate enough where a good amount of people have been kind of asking about this story, and it's had a little bit of buzz going around since its release. So on April 13th, we have our first Central Pennsylvania event, and I think, we want this one to be something that's almost as a celebration that the story's out, and that's that Threading Love. I know there's going to be a whole dance ensemble there. There's going to be a food truck, and it's going to be a fun event so far. I think we have 100 people that have already said they're going to be there. And that's going to be fun because now we're going to get to actually, interact, person to person with everyone that wants to be a part of the story. And that's in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. I know we have all the information on Josiah's Facebook, and we can kind of keep up that way. Then, we have a couple other events, I think, where we might be going up to Connecticut. I know there's a Danbury Westerners is a baseball team up there that that wants us to visit, you know, we might be. And again, all these trips, I wish I can say that we are, like, we can give you a date. Because again, if Josiah may not want to go or something, we may not go then, because this is never going to be something that we're going to hassle Josiah with. But I think we're going to do that. And then there's also a baseball team out in Minnesota that has asked us to come out. So those are going to be some fun trips. And I know Dave always looks forward to some spring training and St. Louis trips. So I think those guys will handle, some of the Cardinals trips. So I think we have some fun events set up this year. The main one being in Lewisburg on April 13th.
Very nice. And that, okay. So where at in Lewisburg? Is there a particular venue?
Yeah. So it's at Threading Love, which is a fair trade clothing store, right in the heart of downtown. So it's a really good location. I know the food trucks are going to be right on the street, and it's going to be it should be a really nice event. It's right next to Bucknell University, so it should be an easy drive for people, especially in Danville, like where I'm from, and anywhere around the heartland of Pennsylvania. I think that's a good location for everyone to kind of meet at. So, I mean, I'm excited about it, to be honest with you, because now we finally have the book, we finally have the story out, and the whole idea of this is to spread the story and interact with everyone. So it should be a fun time.
Yeah. Now, there was an episode of E60. Forgive me for not knowing whether it's aired or not. I know Ben was asking me about when's the book going to be released, and I had to keep pushing it back in the schedule, unfortunately, and may have missed the airing of the latest E60, or have I?
They aired the latest E60 show back in October. It's still, I believe, copyrighted. It's not available on any online service anywhere. I just talked with Ben again here not a couple days ago. He's really working hard. They're going to try and get it aired on SportsCenter. And I'm assuming he's probably going to call you to get information to help promote the book. Because once they air the show on SportsCenter again, they're going to put a whole section in on the book, a short season on SportsCenter. He's working on it. He can't guarantee anything, but we are scheduled. They're working to schedule for us to be on ESPN's Jeremy Schaap's radio program to talk about the book.
Nice.
And that's going to be exciting. Yeah. So I think, I know Jake wants to visit ESPN, right, Jake?
No, I mean, who wouldn't, right? I've never been there. Of course,
well,
I want to go.
Well, if we go to Danbury, we're not very far away. We can scoot over. He said you can come over anytime to visit. So,
Jake, wouldn't that be
gonna
something?
That's going to be a lot
happening. Instead of
more than I realize right now is going to happen in the next several months.
Instead of making it to ESPN as a ball player, you get there as a book author.
I mean, who would have thought that? But no, I think Dave and I talked about this a lot. If my whole life I thought I was going to be between the lines, but maybe my game of baseball is meant to be outside the line. So I'm excited to see where writing takes me, especially in the sports world and what I can do with that. So I'm grateful to Dave for trusting me with this piece, because as he said before, a lot of people wanted to write this story, and a lot of people have asked him to do it. And Dave took a chance on a kid that said that he wrote for fun. So I give Dave, so much credit for the trust that he had in me doing this.
Yeah.
All right.
And I love this young man. He has been a blessing to me. And we spent many hours sitting in his third floor, is it?
Yeah.
In your mom's store, sitting in a corner in an old chair, and we just talk back and forth for hours and write. And it's been a long time. I always kept saying, boy, are we ever going to get there, And here we are, and never realized it. Like I said before when we started this conversation, all we wanted to see was go out to Staples, make two books. I have one, and he has one we can put in our mantle. We never thought that it would, just do this, but like I said, God has other plans in our lives, and I can't wait
Absolutely.
To see what's going to happen this summer. I know Josiah was disappointed he couldn't make it to spring training, but our sponsor, who has been a great guy for us too, as you'll read about, Andy Long from up at W&L Super, who's Josiah's sponsor. He pretty well takes Josiah anywhere he wants to go. So, and he's laying in the hospital, one story quick, laying in the hospital with a broken leg in the emergency room. And he had some pain medicine to help with it. He asked me for my cell phone, and I said, okay, here you go. I figured he's going to watch a baseball game or something, like he normally does. And he handed me the phone back, and he said, 17th and 18th. I think that was the dates in May. I said, okay, that's the Cardinals' schedule. They're playing Philadelphia. He said, yep, can't go to spring training, so we're going to St. Louis. I'm going to go out for a couple games. Okay. So I'll call Andy, and Andy said, absolutely, we'll make it happen. So just have to let him know, and I guess whenever he's starting to feel better, hopefully that can happen. But we'll play it by ear. And I've already called the Cardinals, and they said, hey, just give us an advance notice, and we'll have everything ready for you. We'll make it good for him. So, like I said, everybody involved here has been so fantastic for Josiah. And he likes a notoriety somewhat, but other days it's like, just leave me alone. But I think when the season gets started with the spikes, he'll be there for opening game. He'll be there throwing the first pitch. And he'll be up on the radio like he does for the fourth to the seventh inning for action innings. He does play-by-play with Steve Jones and Joe Putnam at the minor league games at spikes. So he's a radio announcer giving play-by-play and color analyst for players. He loves it. If you see any videos of it, there's some few videos online if you Google Josiah Vieira from some news stations where he's having fun talking on the radio.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Jake Gronsky and Dave Bonner, authors of A Short Season, Faith, Family, and a Boy's Love for Baseball. It's been great having you on. And
hope to have you back. That was great.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Up.
I really appreciate it, whatever you've done for us.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear how the trip to St. Louis goes, so we'll be back in touch. All right, everybody. Well, that's all we have, and thanks for joining us.